All right, good morning, boys and girls. How's everybody out there in the wide world of computer radio land? Getting my digital voice back together. We're sorry we haven't been on the air for a little while. We have been actually mob slammed, crushed, beat up, hurt, sore, tired. Got our butts really kicked this year. We had the Bonita Boat Show 1 week, then went right into tent events, the tent sale mode. Absolutely staggering this year on the tent sale. We're hoping this week to get everything caught up and get back on track. We did get the fishing reports updated, and this is our first radio fishing report. About 3,000 people attended the one-day tent event sale here. We had just all-star cast of factories. I mean, just literally all rock star stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Like to kill me. My biggest day of the year, the day, really look forward to having an amazing amount of fun and time. I slept 4 hours the night from Thursday to Friday, and then from Friday to Saturday, I slept an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know, that rainstorm Friday night, we put everything together, we hire security for overnight, and everything got, all of a sudden it started pouring. We had to tear everything, move everything, and then put everything back together, and oh my God.
And that one little tiny cell, I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so. I mean, little tiny bit of rain.
Half a mile to the north, to the south, and there was nothing.
And we would have been out of here by, you know, 10:30. We would have all gotten home. We would have got a night's sleep, and it just wasn't going to work. But anyway, we've been running, playing catch-up ever since then. But anyway, we're very sorry about that. We're back. Robert, I'm hearing stories on the Peace River. Monster snook. Got some redfish. We think there's some Goliath grouper up underneath I-75. A friend of mine got railed up there. Captain Mike Fitzcharles, he got railed up there. By all accounts, by the feel of the fight, pretty much Goliath, pretty much big Jewfish up there. Snook, redfish, they're catching up on the river and up I-75. A lot of whiting up there right now. You can go up and do pretty good on the whiting.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down to 41.
There's also been some tarpon moving around up there from the Navigator North.
Yeah.
Starting to hear some around Liverpool, up by the water treatment plant. I mean, they are starting to move around a little bit more.
So we got tarpon moving around up in the river, snook and redfish going down I-75, good reports of Spanish mackerel, some nice snook fishing in the morning, guys, even during the day. That one kid who comes in, a little kid, he waylaid a nice snook, frozen shrimp, just piece of dead shrimp out there.
Nice.
You try and tell people, snook's no garbage can. They will eat almost anything. If it's food and it's in front of them, I'll try that.
Yeah.
You know, they just got to be in the mood.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and like you're saying, with all these fish moving around since we did our last report, what, 10, 12 days ago, 14 days ago, something like that.
I can actually look. I don't even remember.
I know it's been over a week. I think we might be at 2 weeks today.
Yeah, but it's 226, and this is 323.
226, so...
It's almost a month, Robert.
3 weeks?
Yeah, it's really bad, really embarrassing.
Well, we got slammed.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been amazing changes since then. Amazing changes.
I mean, the whole harbor lit up. I mean, it's just like somebody flipped a switch. We went from February with some of the most mediocre fishing I've seen down here in the last decade. And just because the weather would get hot, and then it would get cold, and then it'd storm, and then it'd blow wind, and then it'd get cold, and then it'd get hot.
Yeah.
And nothing knew what to do. The people, the critters, the fish, everything was trying to figure out, okay, should I be here? No, I got to go back over there. No, let me go over here. It was just too hard. Nothing could get settled in. And once the weather straightened out, boy, it lit up.
Yes,
so anyway, let's do Port Charlotte, or 41, then go into Port Charlotte Canals, work our way around.
Well, 41 Bridge, you got a few trout still hanging around there. There's been some Spanish mackerel sporadically. Been a few oddball cobia starting to just barely show up. It's not heavy yet, but getting there. Some oddball little sharks. Been some good snook there in the evenings, in the early mornings, and throughout the night. Occasional tarpon at the bridge at night. And then as you move over to the Port Charlotte canals, what few fish that went up in there this winter are really starting to pile out to the mouths of the canals. Starting to get a lot of mixed reports of some bigger mangrove snapper, a few oddball redfish and black drum, some decent snook. That's about it, like in the canals. Oh, wait a minute, jacks. I'm getting quite a few jack reports, you know, all over throughout the whole canal systems. The juvenile tarpon are still up inside East Spring Lake, and they seem to be getting a little bit more aggressive. You know, Austin's been catching little tarpon everywhere wherever he seems to go lately. So that's been kind of nice, and hearing some other mixed reports.
Always keep in mind Austin lies. He's got one little tarpon spot he goes to all the time, and then he says, "Well, I was here, and then I was there." So
yeah.
Austin's a great kid, but when it comes to where are you fishing, the boy lies. I mean, let's just face it. You know, you're looking straight at Austin. I was in Punta Gorda. He was in his little tarpon spot.
Yeah.
So that kid, he's one of the smarter, brighter kids I've ever met. I mean, steady. First kid to ever go from pre-16 through 16 and actually not get really ridiculously stupid.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, really good kid. But lies. Oh, my God. I can't break him of that. I mean, I've threatened him with violence, threatened him with firing him. He's still, he's not going to do it. He ain't going to tell the truth where he catches a fish. But getting around St. Petersburg, looking at the golf temp, just so we remember, I'll minimize the page, but it's 79 degrees water temp in St. Pete. Key West is 81 and Naples is 77. What a change.
Well, something's wrong there with their thermometer, I would have to say.
No. The last 2 weeks. It's almost like there's a volcano in the Gulf or something. I mean, to see the water temps come up that fast.
Yeah.
Unheard of. Absolutely staggering.
But it never got cold to where it should be. It never stabilized.
We were down in the 60s.
Yeah, but 60s. It was never consistent.
No.
You know, it would get down to 65 where it should be, 64, and then it would jump right back up to 67, 68, and then drop back down to 65, 64, and jump back up.
Yeah.
You know, it never really plateaued for more than about 8-10 days.
So, anyway, I shouldn't have brought that up so soon, but I was looking at it. So,
but that's a good thing to know, because that progresses into the harbor without a shadow of a doubt, and everything else has just blown up overnight.
I haven't heard harbor temps, but anyway.
I'm hearing anywhere from 77 to 82 degrees, depending on where they're at.
Wow. Well, let's go into Myakka Cutoff.
Myakka Cutoff has got some nice snook in it, especially at the entrances on both the north and the south side. A few redfish, some mangrove snapper. There has been some trout on occasion at the south entrance there on the Peace River side. And then all around Hog Island has got some ladyfish, some jacks, a few small sharks, even an occasional pompano, but they've been very incidental. And then as you move up towards Tippecanoe, there's been some bigger snook there, some redfish on occasion.
Redfish been doing pretty good back up in there. A lot of snook. I mean,
the snook are outnumbering everything.
Okay, you're sitting around fishing, and you fish for about a month or so, and then all of a sudden, you know, Daffy Duck comes out with a magic wand and goes, "Alakazam!" Done. Snook everywhere.
Yeah.
What?
Where'd they come from?
Yeah, I mean,
where have they been?
No matter what you do. It was just nothing. And, yeah, well, snook fishing's okay, because it was okay.
Yeah.
But to go from that to, oh, my freaking goodness, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, snook,
big fish
everywhere.
Fish. I mean, hardly hearing of any slot fish. I'm hearing of 35, 38, 42, 43-inch fish.
Ours is, what, 28 to
28 to 33.
And so many of the fish are way oversized on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean 40, I'm very 50.
A guy came in with a 53-inch. That's bigger than my best, longest snook I've ever caught, not the heaviest. It was actually a very skinny snook, was 52 inches. And wow. I can tell you, 53 is a monster.
I can't even imagine that.
The one I got was in, I think, August, and it was really skinny. I mean, just all rode out. There was no weight to the fish.
My biggest one's 44.
Yeah, monster snook, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm happy with that.
What time of year did you catch it?
Fall. I want to say it was October or November.
So yours was a little bit heavier, filled up a little bit, but not like those May, June fish. If you're going to go for weight records, you got to go in May and June.
Absolutely.
April, May, you know, because a lot of them by June are already spawning out.
Right. Yeah, well, that's pretty impressive.
Now, I'm hearing tarpon over at Elgibene, mornings, evenings, nighttime a little bit.
Yeah, there have been some around the bridge there itself. Been a few Goliath grouper, a lot of mangrove snapper. Mangrove snapper have started to really turn on, and that's a usual thing for March, late March, early April. They start to just move out of the canals or wherever they're hiding at and just start to ball up pretty good. Been some few sheephead there, some smaller black drum and an occasional big black drum. What else is going on there? Oddball redfish, oddball trout, but it's been a little quiet on those guys there off the pier itself and around the trestles. As you work your way down towards Cattle Dock, big snook again, some redfish, mangrove snapper. Been some good sand bream right there at the entrance. I've been hearing about a couple different times this past week or so. Cool. And then down the west wall, if you're working along the bushes along the shoreline there, snook, lots and lots of snook cruising. Same way as the redfish. The redfish are holding a little tighter to the bushes, and they seem to be at the mouths of every one of the creeks.
Right.
And the snook are scattered, but what you're doing is it seems like these snook are starting to get really hardcore into that spring mode where they're starting to head towards the passes. So you might hit this creek and catch 10 snook or see 10 snook, come back an hour later, and it's a ghost town. And they've moved 30, 40 yards down the shoreline.
Yeah, they're all getting ready to go in that pre-spawn mode. They're all looking for the salt water. Today, this rain is going to help. Rain is very, very beneficial to our snook populations. If you're out there and you're a snook, you're looking for a certain salinity in the water. As soon as you start sensing the salt in the water, okay, I can spawn here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about where it is, it's about what the salt content is. Now, if they're in a freshwater lake, they'll just get together and spawn. They can live, grow, and spawn in the freshwater. But the problem is most of the eggs don't hatch. It's the eggs that really need the salt.
Right.
And the young fry. And so you lose 90-some percent of them if it gets too fresh. Now, all this rain, if we can get a good rain between here and Orlando, get a good flush down the Peace River and the Monica River, that will push the snook further out towards the Gulf.
Right.
Making it less likely they're going to try and spawn at the mouth of a canal or a creek or something like that. So this rain's very beneficial. It's going to move those fish further out towards the barrier islands. If they spawn out there, 97% of the eggs, the fry, will live. If they spawn up here and then we get another rain, fresh water floats, salt's heavier than water, so all the eggs are floating, gets in that fresh water, and the vast majority of them die. Timing of the rain is everything when it comes to snook populations.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's one of those fish that breed right before the rainy season. That can be an issue. But we've been very lucky ever since the freeze, and all the snook are really, the spawn has been amazing and amazingly effective because of the timing of the rain.
Right.
People don't realize how one thing affects everything else. It's just crazy. When you start, the more you delve into this, the crazier it gets. So
that's why there is no one answer all the time.
Yeah, well, somebody says, well, how do you catch this? Well, where are you going? All right, you fishing bait, you fishing lures, what are you doing? There's, you know, it's one question usually with 100 different answers to it.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, coming back around down by Cape Hayes.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Out there on top of the bar on the west wall.
West wall on top of the bar.
Cobia.
Cobia.
It's starting to show up a little bit.
Cobia.
Some pompano. Lots and lots of little sharks. I mean, we're getting black nose, black tips, sharp nose, bonnet heads, with the occasional big lemon and the occasional decent sized bull.
I guess it's in the syllables, because you can go cobia, but you can't go pompano.
Right, exactly.
Pompano. It just doesn't work. No. It's more pompano.
Yeah.
Cobia. Okay. Sorry.
You know, and they're just, and that water's pretty clear right now. I mean, this wind is going to obviously disturb it a little bit, but, you know, this is the time of year where if you can find your calmer days and you're boogieing along, if you really want to look for some cobia right now, you got to burn some gas, but just get up on, barely on plane, stay on the outside of the bar in that 3 to 4 feet of water and cruise along and look and zigzag. You should be able to see. They usually are swimming around in singles and doubles right now. Very rarely are they more than that. And they will be with the manatees on occasion. If you happen to find a bigger stingray, they will be with that. But very rarely will you find them with the cow nose rays, which are starting to school up out there a little bit more. Don't know why that is. Some people have theories why they follow the other rays, but, you know, we'll get into that some other time. So just kind of keep your eyes out, and if you pass one, just try to swing back around, find the vicinity it was at, and then shut down and get ready to throw something at them. I'd be throwing either a live shrimp at them, or I'd throw a bucktail with a worm on it for a teaser. You know, and that seems to be the best thing to get those guys active.
So,
and then getting down closer towards Cape Hayes, you're starting to get into a good mix of stuff, especially as you get further out on the bar, closer towards marker 5, I guess. Spanish mackerel, trout, lots of little sharks, few oddball cobia, bigger sharks, incidental pompano, incidental flounder, a couple big redfish. There's even been a couple of black drum kind of cruising around out there. And this is kind of cool. I know I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but because a black drum peeked onto my head. Talking about water temperature, every year, black drum come in from the Gulf, big school of them, comes in through Little Gasparilla Pass.
Little Gasparilla Pass.
Comes in through Little Gasparilla Pass, and we're talking 1,000 to 2,000 fish.
Okay.
They usually come in through Little Gasparilla Pass, hang out around the intercoastal for several days or a week, right there around Pelican Island, on the White Pelican Island. In that general vicinity. And then they cruise into the harbor and stay kind of out in the 20-foot holes, but mainly on the east side of those 20-foot holes. Usually I hear about those fish at least once they've made it to Pelican.
Right.
They're already here in the harbor. They've been here for 5 days that I know of. There's a school of 2,000 fish cruising throughout the whole center of the harbor. From Burnt Store all the way up to Marker 1, and they're broken up into two different schools right now. One school is probably about 300 to 500 fish. The other school is maybe 500 to 1,000 fish. And I think that's why you're starting to see some black drums in random spots, because how often do we see a black drum at Marker 5 Cape Hayes?
Right.
Very rarely. So there's some pretty serious things going on out there, which is really, really cool. You know, it's been a good time.
Yeah,
you know, so it's something different, but it's just neat that those fish snuck in, which tells me the water temperature in the Gulf has been ideal. Water temperature in the harbor is perfect. Those fish are here a solid 2 or 3 weeks early, because usually those fish are still out there when you're just getting the tarpon showing up in the pass and just getting some fish in the holes. You know, which is pretty good stuff. Gotta make it longer for Jeff.
Yeah. Not that short, no.
No, it just said longer because you're standing farther away. How are you?
Good. What's up today?
We have Jeff here, one of our fishing instructors, and
Typhoid Jeff.
Typhoid Jeff, yes.
It's a bad sail day for that.
There you go. Yeah, see, we got all kinds of stuff. We can adapt, overcome.
one way or the other.
Yes, you can. So yeah, it was a bad sale day for the flu and cold.
Have you heard about the big schools of black drum in the harbor?
I've heard about several people getting big black drum, but I didn't hear anything about a school yet.
Yeah, Robert's talking about a school of 1,000, 2,000 drum, and these fish are all in, say, small size 20 pounds, big size 60 pounds.
Holy, wow.
And it's that same bunch that come here to spawn every year, and they do the whole spawning dance. This is the, you know, mating season, the palm.
And they're here in force this year, huh?
Yeah. Now, every year for the last few years, more and more people are seeing them. I think just more people being out.
Probably.
But it's been an amazing event every year. And it seems like, for some reason, the school's just getting bigger.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
I mean, they're increasing in numbers each year, which is a very good sign.
Yeah, it is.
But
the weird part is that they'll be out there for 2 to 4 weeks, and then all of a sudden it's like a light switch goes off, and they disappear. I mean, they literally just flat out disappear.
Yeah, everybody said that the horseshoe crabs showed up in within an 8-hour period over the weekend. People went out to the bridge and fished, and they said there were no horseshoe crabs there, and then came back in, and they said there was nothing but horseshoe crabs everywhere, and they're all 2-on-2. So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
This year, I've seen more horseshoe crabs than I have in the last 15 years.
No, that's
easily,
easily.
And well, maybe we're on the mend from the storm finally. You know, takes a long time.
It's absolutely ridiculous to go that many years and barely see one a year to see in the last few times I've been out. I've seen at least 6 or 10 every time I've been out, and people don't understand how humans need horseshoe crabs.
Yeah, they use their blood for, they
diseases.
Do a research with it. Yeah.
No, it's the cure for several diseases. The blood of horseshoe crabs, they actually watched a special on how they do it. They bleed them out, and they take, I mean,
they actually don't bleed them out. They actually just draw blood from them just like they do a person.
Yeah,
they turn them over.
Bleeding
and,
out was the wrong word.
Yeah.
They put them all in and whacked them. I'm sure that's what they did years ago, but now they've got a whole little IV system, and to get all the blood, you know, they want out of them, and then they're all... I forget the whole thing they do, but it's amazing because they put them all back alive.
And I think their blood is a different color than ours. Is it blue?
Blue, yeah.
There's a guy that farms them down in the Everglades.
No.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, he's got a pretty huge outfit down there where he actually raises and keeps horseshoe crabs on
the
farm.
I know, I saw the special on the Discovery Channel a couple of years ago. And
the one where they were showing all the things. And oh, yeah. It's actually staggering. But to see that many horseshoe crabs... The schools of black drum getting bigger, everything getting bigger. It's absolutely staggering the amount of increases that we've had in different types of fish. Now, this year we had a dramatic decrease in sea trout.
Yeah.
But
I think that was because they left the season open through the spawn November, December, and, you know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Maybe not as many spawned out again is what I'm thinking.
It could be, there could be a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
It's just like
one thing.
No white bait. Remember last year, there was no bait fish, there was no thread fins, there was no bait fish, there was no nothing. This year, there's already some coming back.
Yeah.
We're never going to see real numbers of them again, but, you know, there is a bit. Well, you can't take, let's say, an average of 75 to 100 boats a day.
Sure. All blacking out their live wells.
All cast netting white bait and expect the populations to recover. It's just impossible to work. Yeah. But on the other hand, I mean, it's nice that there's so many back. Now, we do have one thing in our favor. Off the coast of South America, one of the primarily sought bait fish down there, and it's a big money business, and it's, you know, they use it for bait and everything else. They've actually tracked that the bait is starting to spawn more often to try and keep their numbers up.
Yeah.
That nature clicked the switch and said, okay, instead of spawning once a year, you're going to spawn twice, or instead of twice, three times, whatever it was. But it's kind of amazing that, you know, we can screw up this badly, and nature goes, all right, well, we're going to try and allot for this.
Right. You know? Well, we'll go into the panic mode. And
But anyway, we were down by Cape Hayes.
We're down by Cape Hayes and starting to work our way into Turtle Bay.
I've heard tarpon have been showing up at Sanibel, too, speaking of that area, getting down
there. We're not
there
yet.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
what we up there. What we do on this one, what we try to do, we never actually happen. We're going to go from Cape Hayes, Bull Turtle, up the thing, we hit Placida, go up to Lemon Bay, walk the beaches, Gulf of Mexico, then we jump down to Sanibel and come back up.
I'll try not to screw it up.
No. we've been doing this for a while now, so
yeah.
We actually try and cover it in pattern. Never works.
I'm the newbie,
ever worked. But,
no, we always squirrel somewhere along the way.
Oh, so you were squirrel!
Exactly. Turtle Bay, you got the entrance. Turtle Bay's got some nice redfish. A lot of snook scattered right at the entrance and throughout the whole thing. As you move up into the back end of Turtle Bay, that's where you seem to be finding a little bit more redfish. A lot of snook back there, too. The trout have started to move out a little bit. There are still some incidental trout throughout the grass flats and some of those deeper sand holes. The deep trough that's in the back heading towards the Eagle's Nest has had some sharks in it, some real nice snook, a few juvenile tarpon.
Isn't it amazing?
Quite a few sharks I've been hearing.
I mean, okay, but we're talking about in the same place. You got a bunch of nice, great shark fishing and a lot of snook.
Yeah.
What universe does this make sense?
No.
You know, their food sources, there, whatever they're feeding on, they're, it's definitely grouping up there.
Shark eat snook.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah.
Or trout, or whatever. You're catching the predator and the prey all in the same spot.
Absolutely.
Zero. I mean, I was just talking about how nature overcomes and adapts. Nature is one cruel, weird.
She sure is.
I mean, just.
Well, I've had a few people come in and they say, you know, I caught a trout. I know it was a trout, and then it got popped off, and I brought back nothing. It just got. And I said, yeah, it got cut off by something that ate the trout.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
put a little steel wire on there.
There's also been a lot of snook right there through the cut going into between bull and turtle there.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of juvenile ones and a lot of actually overslot fish.
A whole lot of overslot.
A whole lot of overslot fish.
I'm hearing more overslot than I am underslot. And then as you get into Turtle Bay or Bull Bay, there's in the backside where those few floating boat houses are at.
Yes.
Lots of little redfish, some bigger redfish, tons of snook, some really good mangrove snapper underneath some of those. And then at the main entrance on the harbor side, big mangrove snapper, redfish, snook, incidental trout, incidental sheep's head. And then on that flat out front between bull and turtle, cruising along there, a lot of snook again, a few redfish, oddball flounder, oddball pompano.
Yeah, I've been hearing flounder, small flounder, and dark black with the white spots.
Right.
Yeah.
And then going around Cayo Palau from Devilfish up to the other entrance into Devilfish, once again, snook everywhere.
Yeah, and that should be a place where there's quite a bit of pinfish.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole grass flat there has got a lot of pinfish on it, some white bait. It's kind of a fishy area in general, and we talk about it all the time because of all the bait fish that are there.
It has a nice grass bed that drops out into the main channel going out to Boca Grande.
Right.
And it holds a lot of fish in that drop.
Yeah, exactly, because of all the bait that's there and everyone that's always chumming and everything else. So a lot of little sharks, some snook, some redfish, some trout, oddball incidentals. It's just kind of a good place to go for a variety of species. It's not always gangbusters, but you're at least going to bend a rod right in there right now. Haven't heard too much about the white bait over there. Inconsistent numbers like we were a few weeks ago, but it should start to get better theoretically. And then, wow, I like it. Who needs those other sound effects?
We were just talking, that's like pumpkin.
Exactly. And then as you work your way up through Wooden Creek, Wooden Bay area there, all through Catfish, lots and lots of snook everywhere. Quite a few redfish, some trout out there on the flats. There's been some sizable sharks cruising around through there. Not any consistent numbers, but the water's so clear right now, you're seeing a lot of different, a lot of good-sized sharks cruising around. And most of them are lemons. You know, this is the time of year where those lemons really start to cruise the bars. Few into
lemon
the
fresh, squeaky clean.
Exactly.
No, lemon shark has nothing to do with the color, boys and girls.
Not really,
gray, brown, black, yellowish.
Yeah.
It's the two dorsal fins being almost exactly the same. Or the dorsal and what's the one called over
here? Caudal fin.
Caudal fin. When you look at it, it appears to have two dorsal fins.
Yeah.
But you can caudal the fin.
I wouldn't caudal the shark, though.
coddle the fin, but you cannot cuddle the shark.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that, no.
I mean, spooning with a shark is probably better than a flat-out hug. I mean, at least you're on the backside, but, you know. You want to be the spooner rather than, or you want to, rather than the spoonie.
That's so, for sure.
Yes. Those little kisses on the back of your neck would not be good.
No. No.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm a sick individual. I can't help myself.
And then if you get over to Placida Trestle right now.
I'd love to get anywhere but where I just was.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to segue from it. Leave it alone.
Gone.
Placida's been getting some nicer sheep's head. And the numbers are going way down, but the quality seems to be jumping up a little bit.
Yeah.
Some really, really nice mangrove snapper. Once again, not a lot of numbers yet, but the quality has gone up. Been some good pompano cruising between the main road and the trestle itself.
Yeah.
That channel going basically from Placida heading towards Uncle Henry's.
Right, the boat channel.
Along that
right
whole channel has been some pretty good pompano, some redfish, and a whole lot of snook.
It's been a year now since they've done that bridge over, so everything's starting to come back. I've heard good reports of the guys actually fishing right under that humpback bridge right there, too. Right. Getting some nice snapper and sheephead right there.
Yeah.
It's about 22 feet right there, right by the seawall.
Really?
Yeah, right off that bridge, right at the bridge abutment there on that humpback.
Yeah.
It drops right off from that inside little trail, you know, that goes straight out to Little Gasparilla.
What would be nice is if...
It's just hard to sit there with all the boats.
Right
exactly. It's just not enjoyable.
No.
It would be nice when they do bridges if they'd actually clean the bottom out and... You know, go through and actually repair under the bridge as well as just for the car traffic.
Yeah.
You know, it just amazes me
that would make sense. Though.
They're all there with all that equipment and all the earth movers and all this other stuff. They could just kind of clean it all out.
Yeah, they could.
And, you know, take that and, you know, haul it to a farm somewhere and put it on a field. But no, they just ignore the natural aspect of it because we got to get a car through here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
anyway. The state doesn't want anybody to touch anything down there. You know, they're all.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Let's throw everything in the world down there and just let it muck up, silt in. But
don't touch it.
Can't touch nature. It's got to be alone. You know, you idiots.
Yeah.
Only the U.S. government could be this idiotic. No, I take that back. Germany's worse.
Really?
Been there, done that, and Germany's way worse.
Well, we do see a lot of them over here, so.
Yeah, the fishing here is way better because we actually stock fish and do a little bit of stuff for nature, and they really leave it alone. But I don't know if there's any place anywhere in Germany you can run a gas motor on a lake or a river. I think 99 outside of some inboards, all the lakes I fished over there.
We're all...
Electric motors.
Yeah.
But they would have like Chris-Craft, old wooden type Chris-Craft.
Turned into electric.
With electric motors in them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really crazy. I mean, you go out to fish in a lake and you go down and you get in this gorgeous old wooden Chris-Craft type boat and, you know, like you see in a Cary Grant movie. And, you know, you go out to go fishing in this. And there are some aluminum boats and all the rest of this, but I was able to go out in one of those one time. And absolutely spectacular boat to be in. And turns it on, he starts it going, goes whoosh. You're like, wow.
That's
this is weird.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, yeah, that was fishing adventures, and it was just outside Graz in Austria.
Wow.
And it was really cool. But there was a guy who owned the Ritterwort Kapoon restaurant. He was an amazing guy to hang around with because he would come to the, I would do big fishing trade shows over there, and we were selling all this tackle and everything. Huge fishermen would come in, I'd give him a bunch of discounts. And then when we went to his restaurant, he would supply the food and the booze and took
free
us out
food,
fishing.
Give you a ride.
The best booze in the world. Literally some of the best food I've ever had. But amazing restaurant. And I heard he closed down. I was so sad. I mean, he was probably my age back then. So,
he was probably getting to where he...
A little too old,
And couldn't trust anybody to do his job anymore.
Yeah, because that was the place I've ever told you about where if you're a man, you can drink from that stein.
Oh, yeah. That was the place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It holds probably a quart or better of beer.
Yeah.
And it's ceramic with lead-filled, you know, it's like
lead-filled crystal stuff or whatever. Yeah.
Right, but I mean literally with lead.
Yeah.
The mug itself probably weighed 10 plus pounds. Then he put a quart or better of beer in it. You're supposed to be able to drink it in one hand without knocking your teeth out.
Right, right, right.
And you got to drink it in one stop. I did it. I thought I was going to die. Almost lost a tooth, but I did it.
Wow.
Morning, Larry.
Good morning. How we doing, guys?
You want to join in?
I got a couple minutes.
Okay. There's another microphone there. You can hear it with the headphones or without, whatever you want to do. This is Captain Larry, owns T's Tackle. Yeah, that one's a little short. Hello. Sorry about that. You probably won't want to hang out the show long. You there?
Yeah, got it covered. Let's squat a little bit.
Well,
yeah. Let's see.
Let's see if we got you there, Larry.
You got me now?
Yeah,
we got you.
There you go. Anyway, Larry, Captain Larry, he owns T's Tackle and does the Pompano jigs. And we were just talking about Pompano and stuff like that out along the Gulf. What's the number one color in Pompano jigs right now, Larry?
The most popular color is probably the pink, pink and white, chartreuse and chartreuse and white. If you're working down around the beach, yellow seems to work a little bit better than the pink and the chartreuse.
Off the like Sanibel, Boca Grande.
Yeah, out off the beach area.
Off the real beaches, yeah.
Yes.
And you were at the tent sale. How was it?
Awesome. It was packed. Everybody seemed to have a real good time. Sales were up. People were here looking for bargains, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of bargains this year. And you're going to be back next year with the tent event.
Yes.
Amazing amount of deals and bargains and all that, but I think the thing that shocked me the most at the tent sale, how much people were enjoying it. I mean,
they did enjoy it.
It is a tackle at its heart. It is a tackle sale, but it's we built it to be a learning experience, and Larry's very much part of the store. I think our building it as a learning experience, and with the quality of people, yourself and the owners of so many other tackle companies, I think it's a very unique experience, and I think, at least I hope that's why people enjoyed it so much. Because, I mean, I had one guy who was a pain in the butt, and out of all the people in the world he went up to, and he accused me of raising the prices so I could put a discount on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I mean, out of all the people in the world.
Right.
I mean,
seriously?
Right. I mean, let's face
really?
It. Anybody who's ever met me knows I don't have that gene. You know, and of all the people in the world he's accusing this to, my sister.
Really?
Yeah, my sister's running the cash register. He's going, that guy who owns this place, all he does is raise the prices up so we can discount him down and, you know, pretend he's having a sale. And she looked at him, and I got to tell you don't want to mess with my little sister.
No, Frank, I can tell you.
Woman's scorn.
I distribute over 60 bait and tackle stores. I'm going to tell you what. Everybody asks me, how's Frank doing? You know, what's he got this week? You know, and stuff like that. Your prices are better than any other store that I go into. Those people up there, the other stores, they don't have the
Power.
Buying power, customer appreciation. They don't do a whole lot of specials for their customers the way that you do. A lot of the stores, they like to double whatever they pay for it. You don't.
I can't see
anybody accusing you of raising prices.
Yeah, out of all the people in the world, they're going to accuse and then do it to my sister. I was dying. She says, I was going to come and get you. She says, but you would have just hurt them.
Right? No doubt.
She says, I didn't want to upset you. I said, it wouldn't have upset me. I would have just laughed at the guy. I told him to go on.
Yep.
Yeah, no kidding.
What time was that? Let's go back and look at the footage.
Everything you do on this property is in video right now.
Exactly.
But I just thought that was hilarious. And everybody around him was looking at him like, are you nuts? I mean, obviously, he's never been to the store before.
No.
So, anyway. That was fun. It was, I guess I should enjoy it, but, you know, it just goes to show, no matter what you do, it's never going to be perfect, but
no.
I screwed the pooch on several things, with having some of the boots in the wrong spot, having some of the other stuff, but every year, I fix more and more of the stuff, and next year, it's going to be amazing. We've already had two or three people asked to come, major companies.
That's good.
And so, I think everybody's coming back next year. Hopefully you will.
Yes.
But you make all the pompano jigs. You've got an amazing array of jigs. You do the circlet jig heads.
Yes.
Yep.
And we're going out into the Gulf right now. That was my segue.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You see that, Robert? Larry makes circle hook jig heads, and if you're going to fish with bait on a jig, you have to use a circle hook. And absolutely. So Larry's circle hook jig heads into the Gulf and the snappers.
Works great for the snappers.
There we go. See?
The mangrove snapper bite's been really good at 3 to 15 miles. Some porgies. A few sheep's head. Really? Having a good time.
I'm sorry.
You have to take the good with the bad, Robert.
Right.
You've been working with me 18 good. Years now, right?
17.
17 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why. If you had been here 18 years, you'd probably understand. But 17 years, you just still ain't going to get it.
No.
Snappers in the Gulf. They're little fish with big teeth that bite a lot.
And usually steal your bait.
Yes, they are. They're very, very good.
Snappers for a reason.
They do, yeah.
Good bait teeth.
You ever get one to snap down on your finger? And
only once.
You get to almost break its jaw to get it off?
Only once, yeah.
You only have to do it once.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Every time he snaps on that jig head and you're trying to get it out of its mouth, you can think you got the some pliers or something.
Yeah, human ingenuity.
They don't let go.
Pliers is amazing.
They don't let go.
No, and the way they pop that their jaw together, and they've got teeth. If you look at your cat, if you've got a house cat or your neighbor's got a house cat, look in the mouth of that, and that's the teeth on a mangrove snapper.
Yeah,
or most of the snappers.
Yeah,
most of your snappers. Yeah, absolutely.
And picture that clamped down on your finger.
Yeah, it's. I felt it.
With a vice. Owie! Mommy! Yeah. Mommy, it hurts!
Actually, one of our captains came in with a good catch that he had, and he's like, look at my thumb. You know, and it was just looked like it had been chewed to pieces like a cat toy, like one of them scratch bars.
That's terrifying.
So anyway, Robert, circle hooks. Larry makes circle hooks, which are what you have to use if you're going to use bait in the Gulf. So.
Mm-hmm. So you should be using shrimp. If you can get some white bait's been working pretty well on them too.
Yeah, Captain Brian Ball came in and he said he's wanting me to give him a discount on it because the offshore fishing bite has been so good. He's been taking 250 shrimp. He says, I can't afford it. Can I get a deal on the shrimp? 250 shrimp a trip he's going through.
Yeah,
right.
It's amazing.
That's crazy.
Did he come in this morning?
Yeah,
yesterday.
Yesterday morning?
Yeah, they only come to see me when I'm working on Sunday if they want a deal.
Yeah,
exactly. Can I get a discount?
You know, I think most of them have figured out when you're going to be here.
Yeah.
And they have already beat their heads against our heads enough to know that they have to talk to you.
So can you call them? No, I'm not going to call Frank.
You know him. You got his number. They usually turn and walk away.
But I'm usually locked in the office on Sundays trying to catch up on the paperwork.
Yes.
Let's see. What else going on there? Spanish mackerel all over the place.
Yeah,
scattered
a lot of mackerel.
King mackerel have started to show up in the last 7-8 days. It's not super consistent, but definitely fishable. There's plenty of fish out there where you can start targeting them.
You've been hearing about any cobia?
King mackerel up by Sarasota. They're doing real good on the kings up there by Sarasota. They just kind of went right by us on this one. And if you're looking for king mackerel, you're going to have to look Sarasota north.
Yeah, I think that's the first little drove, though, because I'm still hearing good reports down by Fort Myers, too.
Really?
Yeah.
So I think that
was just first little wave.
They might just be eating something out off of our shore.
I'm hearing of some
good bait.
Those smaller hammers from Naples all the way up to just by Venice, which those hammers are always chasing the kings. Those little 6 to 8 footers usually follow them. So I'm hearing good mixed reports on those guys. Everybody that's been going offshore is seeing at least several free jumping kings.
Wow.
That's cool.
There are plenty of them out there, and I think we're just in that first little
wave. How far out are we looking at?
Anywhere from like 4 to like 25 miles.
Wow.
And they're seeing them
scattered. Pretty close. So.
They're seeing them scattered all over the place.
4 is real close.
Yeah, some of our people ought to be running into them then.
Larry, anything up north?
I heard a story that they caught. It was a small king. It was only about 3 feet, but they were fishing in about 20 feet of water, a mile and a half off the beach. This was a week ago.
A three-footer is a good-sized king.
Yeah, it's off Nacomas Beach.
Yeah, that's 15 plus pounds.
Yeah, oh yeah.
15 to 20 pound kings.
Yeah,
so that's nice fish.
Yeah, you know, he was in 20 feet of water within sight of the beach. He was only a mile and a half off the beach when he caught him. He was fishing for Spanish, and one king was running through it.
that's not super unusual, though, because, I mean, your big, big kingfish, if you watch any of the guys that do the tournament trails and stuff like that, the SKA and all that, those guys almost always will fish within 4 miles of shore.
Yeah.
And they always fish in conjunction close to a smaller reef or near one of the passes. But those big, you know, those guys that catch those 40 and 50 pound kings on a regular basis always close catch them within 4 or 5 miles at the most to shore. Those single big females, they're just big solitary females.
If you're looking for numbers, you go further out, but solitary big fish further in.
Yeah. You're fishing all day for roaming that the one beach to
looking
two
for
fish.
That big bait is what they're looking
that's
for.
Why you'll always see, even up there at Sharky's, you'll never see a guy up at Sharky's catch a kingfish that's less than 36 inches long off that pier. They're always 36 inches and better, which is just useless information, but for people that want to target them, that's where you find the big studs.
Anything been going on in Venice jetties while we're doing anything like that?
The jetties got a lot of snook, some mangrove snapper, sheep's head are moving in and out of there, a few pompano, been some good size whiting up in there.
Okay.
Kind of a mixed bag.
Now, to jump back, weird, I just happen to remember Venice. Out in the Gulf, I'm hearing red grouper 60 feet of water. You can find some inside, a lot of shorts, but hard to find the keepers until you get out in that 60 feet of water.
Yeah. Much better quality in that 90 to 100 feet of water.
Yeah, that's where you're going to find your really the one you've been waiting
years
to find.
Yeah, those 15 to 25 pounders have been out there and that stuff. A lot of scattered cobia out there. They're starting to show up all over the place. Cudas. A lot of mixed varieties of sharks, sandbars, bulls, like I was talking about, the smaller hammers in that, you know, 5 to 8 foot range.
If you're grouper fishing right now, yeah, it's all about the sharks on the grouper stuff.
Tell a lot of people to come in, you know, I mean, free line a ladyfish behind the boat while you're fishing for something else. There's so many fish right now that could whack that. It's, you know.
If you got a pinfish, squirrelfish, blue runner, bobber stop him. Use a crappie bobber stop.
Yeah.
And while you're grouper fishing, set him down about 25 feet under a bobber. Yeah. Get him off away from the boat a little bit.
Casting bobbers are getting real popular for that, too.
Well, with the bobber stop, I can actually set depth.
Yeah.
So I want to set the depth about 25 to 30 feet and just have that bait fish cruising underneath that float down there. Give him about a half ounce of lead about 3 feet above him and just let him, half ounce to an ounce of lead, and just let him cruise there underneath that bobber and get whacked. I mean, the amberjack on the Pegasus and the
Fantastico and all that. Blue hole.
Yeah, you got some beautiful fish out there. It's really been amazing out in the Gulf right now. Things are lighting up out there. You can keep that with you, Larry. I got extras. Yeah, see, I got two.
Oh,
all you had to do was ask. You could say, pass me the ashtray. They know I nicotine.
Yes.
So, until I get this audit done. Oh, God. I was planning on trying to stop smoking. It's like they picked a bad day to stop drinking.
Yeah, right.
So, then they get through this audit, and then I'll go through the rest of this stuff. Anything else happening in the Gulf you've heard of, Larry?
I know that the North Jetty, they're starting to buy more and more of the pompano jigs. So when I go up today, I'm going to find out if the pompano are really starting to build up.
Pompano is one of the fish I've been hearing more about in the last week or two.
Good.
So North Jetty up there in Venice, pompano moving in pretty good.
Yes.
What's going on down by Sanibel while we got you?
I know there's bait fish down there. They're starting to order more and more cast nets. Other than that, I haven't heard a lot.
I've heard that the tarpon have showed up there, like I said earlier.
All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. Any thoughts here before we take a break? And we're going to come back with the second half of the Area Fishing Report here in just a minute.
Cool.
Anything, Larry?
No, I've covered about everything so far. So, I'll find out more today.
So if you're out there looking for pompano jigs and stuff, look for the one with the T's tackle label on it. And anything that's particularly hot that people should know about?
We're coming out with new bucktails. We've got the bullet head jigs all the way to 12 ounce now. A lot of people up north, up around Sarasota and Bradenton, are asking for those. I own the jig shop, jigshop.com. And if you have something that you can't find anyplace else, give me a call because I'll try and take care of it.
There you go. Okay, that's Captain Larry T's Tackle. And Jeff, anything you want to mention about any place we've covered?
I can't think of anything right at the moment.
All right. Robert, any last thoughts on this?
Well, before we leave the Gulf, we'll cover two little things.
Go ahead.
The tarpon started to show up real heavy down in the Keys. Quite a few starting to move around down in the Naples area. So it wouldn't surprise me if the guys that are out grouper fishing are going to start seeing some of our migratory fish popping up out there, getting ready to head towards the passes.
Well,
and
this
along
time of year,
with the
if,
permit.
If we'll get to the permit in just a second, but if you're out there grouper fishing, your GPS quits, your compass fell overboard, and you have no idea how to get back, and you see a pot of tarpon, follow them. They will take you right to Boca Raton Pass.
There you go.
If you're 50 miles out in the Gulf and wondering, how am I ever going to find my way back? I don't know where to go. And you see a pot of tarpon, just fall in behind them. They will take you right to the pass.
Yep.
And it's absolutely amazing how many times I've been out there grouper fishing and been miles and miles out in the Gulf, and then all of a sudden there go the tarpon right by.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back with part two of the Area Fishing Report. And this is Fish and Frank. We had Jeff, our fishing instructor, Captain Larry from Tease Tackle, and Robert in the chair across from me. And we'll be back in, well, once you leave this, go click the next button, and we'll be right there. But part one of the Area Fishing Report, and we will catch you guys back in just a minute.